Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Today, we bring you a forum between three of the four candidates running for two seats on the Barnstable County Commission. Sheila Lyons, Cynthia Stead, and Mark Forrest. Ron Beatty declined to participate. The forum is presented by the League of Women Voters Cape Cod and moderated by Jack Eklund. The debate was held at Lower Cape TV.
So let's begin. We will start with Mr. Forrest. And the first question is, why are you running for re-election for county commissioner?
I'm running for re-election. First of all, I want to thank the league for putting this forum together, and I appreciate the opportunity to not only speak to you, but also the voters of this Barnstable County district. These kinds of forums are incredibly important for us in terms of getting our word out, but also getting participation and getting the interest of the voters. Now, why am I running? I'm running because I love Cape Cod and I love the work that we're doing. This particular board of commissioners has had an incredibly productive 4 years, and we've made great strides in a whole host of areas. But I believe my qualifications, my background, my experience, and again, the record that we've accomplished and pulled together over the past 4 years is a very strong one. I think we deserve to be reelected. I think we've worked very, very hard on behalf of the voters and all of the people of Barnstable County. We've had success across the board in a variety of areas. I'm very proud of our efforts in terms of protecting Cape Cod's water supplies. I'm very proud of the work that we've done in terms of affordable housing, the work that we've done in terms of transportation, helping secure funds for new bridges over the Cape Cod Canal. I mean, there's just a whole range of things that we have done over the past 4 years that have been incredibly important to Cape Cod, to Barnstable County, and we've got more work to do. The Cape is facing some big challenges, and I want to be there to help pull them off.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest. Next, we'll hear from Ms. Lyons.
Good afternoon, and again, I would like to thank the League for hosting this. It is very important, and I am running again because I'm very dedicated to the county. I think if for anyone who doesn't know, I was county commissioner from 2008 until 2016. I did step down for another reason, and that didn't pan out, and I went to work. But there were issues coming up with the county, and I thought I would get back into it. So I did run 4 years ago, and thankfully, to all of you, I was reelected. And so now between those 8 years and 4 years, plus two on the assembly, I probably know more about county government and my dedication to it than most people. I've seen it go from a very low budget, not well managed, sort of a entrenched boys club in a way for many years, same people working there, same people in the administration. It was very, very difficult and a long process of changing that culture, but it successfully has happened. And I agree with my colleague here, Mr. Forrest. The last 4 years has been very, very productive and very rewarding for me, much more satisfying than the grueling trudgery of trying to move forward the first 8 years. But it's we are on the right track. And the county is very important to all of us. Not many people realize all of the things that they do or we do, but it's really our staff. We have a budget of about $24 million on an average year, and we leverage about $100 million of grants that we bring to this region. And I'm very proud of the work of not only of us collectively agreeing on policies going forward as a board, but of our staff and our administration. They've been just fantastic. And I'm just proud of the work we've done.
Thank you, Ms. Lyons. And Ms. Stead, why are you running for election as a county commissioner?
I'm running because I believe that I can provide a different perspective and different ideas rather than the long-term incumbencies of some of the other members. for the last few years, I've worked at Catholic Charities in Hyannis and did a great deal of work in homelessness, literal homelessness, finding homes, and all of these other things that are pertinent to it. Before that, I was the executive director of Sight Loss Services in Dennis, which is a countywide organization that works with people who can't get help because they're not blind enough yet. Massachusetts does not recognize sight loss until you are legally blind. And my agency was in the business of helping people cope as they were approaching that stage. But the truth is, I have worked in government for most of my life. I worked at the IRS in auditing. I worked at the State House as a legislative aide. I worked locally as in a city manager's office preparing grants. And the governor was kind enough to appoint me to be a corporator and trustee of the Perkins School for the Blind. And in that capacity, again, I have to look at the budgets. I'm an elected housing commissioner in Dennis, and surprise, surprise, I was elected to be the treasurer. I would like to see us use our money in a smarter way. I would like to see us do more things that are not just massive programs, but also look at some of these massive programs and say, why is the county doing this rather than other entities? It would simply be a different perspective. It's hard to give up something that you engineered and you know why it worked. That doesn't mean, though, that it's going to work forever. And I would like to give my set of eyes and, unfortunately, my opinion to the county commissioners and to the people in Barnstable County.
Thank you, Ms. Stead. We'll move on to our next question, and this goes first to Ms. Lyons. What are your plans to address coastal resiliency?
Well, coastal resiliency is a tough question, but what we do as the county is we work with our staff, we work with the towns in what they're doing, and we also work with the Cape Cod Commission, which is a semi-department of the county. They do run by their own act. So what we are doing is we're bringing in funding where we can make a difference in the environment. We had a $43 million ARPA grant given to us in the beginning of 4 years ago. $10 million of that went to the towns. Most of that went to wastewater remediation and coastal resiliency. We do support efforts to raise roads, create awareness. We, through our cooperative extension, we work with towns on coastal resiliency and the floodplain, and we have staff that works with the towns to help them identify ways to address this coastal resiliency, and that helps them bring their insurance down in on a municipal level. So there's a lot to be done. A lot of it is beyond our control. So what we're doing is adapting to the situation that we're in and how we can help towns regulate where building is going to happen, where they can raise roads, create. In Wellfleet, we have supported the Herring River restoration that will have great benefit. Unfortunately, it wasn't done 25 years ago, but estuaries are a buffer against storm surge, and hopefully that project is almost near completion, and we'll be seeing the benefits of that very soon.
Thank you, Ms. Lyons. Ms. Stead, same question. What are your plans to address coastal resiliency?
A couple of weeks ago, I attended a briefing by the dredge administrator up at the county. They had finished the year slightly in the black simply because they could not get to some of their prior engagements because things were that bad in other towns that they were taking care of. You know, we look at the people in Georgia, we look at the people in Florida and say, gee, those poor folks, we're lucky, and we are. But those same storms and those same undercurrents are also changing the exterior of the Lower Cape. They couldn't finish the dredging because there was so much more than was expected. We need to get our minds around this, not just on the land, but in and under the water as well, because this isn't going to stop happening. We need to be able to have our fisheries. We need to be able to have our oceanside properties. But it's becoming harder and harder when nature is not going to participate in any way, shape, or form. Everything that Sheila mentioned is important, very important, but we need to begin to think of ourselves in what may sound pretentious, but in a slightly more global way, not merely getting the dredge spoils and wondering if the Sandwich Beach wants them this year because they couldn't have them last year and they got mad about it. We need to think in terms of building and constructing and living in such a way that our shorelines will rise, some of our north-south rivers may break through. Not now, not today, but in the future. And we need to begin to try to cope with that now. And because of the dredge, that is the county's business.
Thank you. Mr. Forrest, what are your plans to address coastal resiliency?
Okay. Well, first of all, this is a great question because, you know, climate change is the issue of our time. Mm-hmm. And wherever we are in positions of government or positions of leadership, we need to take this responsibility in addressing and confronting climate change incredibly seriously. And developing initiatives in terms of resiliency is perhaps one of the most important things that we can do in addressing this challenge. At Barnstable County, as Commissioner Lyons had mentioned, we have a number of programs and a number of initiatives. The biggest one is, and many of them at the moment are largely through our Cape Cod Commission and their staff. They're working with our towns and developing initiatives to help towns qualify for the federal and state funds that are being made available to help towns address resiliency. The state government, the federal government are making significant funds available for communities to deal with and develop strategies and programs and initiatives to address this. And we've had some success in bringing some funds here. And it speaks to also the role that the county plays. One of the great things that we do in Barnstable County is our departments and our staff help towns access these federal and state funds. They help them develop the plans, become eligible, and essentially help write grants and help bring the funds to the communities. It's an important role. And resiliency is an area where there's going to be a fair amount of resources off Cape that we can bring here. So having that capability is incredibly important. We also need to just also make note of the fact that we do have a dredging department that does beach nourishment. Beach nourishment is going to be increasingly important in terms of how we address resiliency. So that's an important program. They're doing a lot of work in each of the towns. I am also chairman of the Cape Cod Conservation District. We fund salt marsh restoration projects in virtually every Cape Cod town. We're bringing federal dollars also, and this is in tandem with some of the work at the county. So there's a lot of collaboration at the county with other groups, and we've had some huge success in this area. And there's a lot more that we will be doing in the years ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest.
You're listening to a forum between three of the four candidates for Barnstable County Commission, Cynthia Stead, Mark Forrest, and Sheila Lyons, presented by the League of Women Voters and recorded at Lower Cape TV. The fourth candidate, Ron Beatty, declined to participate. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're bringing you a forum between three of the four candidates running for two seats on the Barnstable County Commission, Mark Forrest, Sheila Lyons, and Cynthia Stead. Ron Beatty declined to participate. The forum is presented by the League of Women Voters Cape Cod, moderated by Jack Eklund, and recorded at Lower Cape TV.
Our third question, and this will be addressed first to Ms. Stead. What role do the county commissioners play in addressing the housing crisis?
I think it needs to be advisory more than anything else. I think that we need to get better advice. For the last few years, I have been going from pillar to post to the various disability committees and to the various housing committees, suggesting that since we are building so much new housing, we ought to make it all abilities housing. If you're not familiar with the term, the idea is that all doors in every unit is 36 inches wide instead of 34, so a person in a wheelchair or a walker can use it. There should be grab bars in every bathroom, not set-asides. If you don't need a grab bar, they make wonderful towel racks. We need to look at the kind of housing that we are creating. We've been given a lot of money. We need to stop and think, what is the best use of it above and beyond putting roof over a person's head. Another piece of this is that there's a thing called an AMI, area median income. Our area median income, which qualifies you to have low-cost housing, is the same from Bourne to Provincetown. Common sense alone dictates that it's going to cost more to buy groceries in Chatham because the cost of transporting the groceries there is going to be added on to it. Yet we have the single. We need to appeal that back to the state and say cost of gas, cost of food, cost of housing varies wildly from Sandwich to Truro. We need to get the state to recognize that. And once we do, we can be much more efficient in helping people in real life rather than merely a 10-cent over-the-limit person who can't quite qualify.
Thank you, Ms. Stead. Same question to you, Mr. Forrest. What role do the county commissioners play in addressing the housing crisis?
Well, one of the things that we do is we've established this as a priority. All right, that's fundamentally important, is to make sure that it's clearly an urgent issue that needs attention. One of the things that we have a number of programs and a number of initiatives that we support and we're very proud of. One is the Home Consortium. Barnstable County, the commissioners, the prior Board of Commissioners, helped create this regional initiative that qualifies us for a fairly significant amount of federal HUD money to address affordable housing. And we've been strong supporters of that, Commissioner Lyons and I, in helping sustain that consortium, continue to get that funding. We're one of the few regions in New England that essentially is eligible under the Home Consortium as a region. And rather than each individual town having to go after those funds, we do it as a group. And we have an advisory committee made up of affordable housing stakeholders from around the region that work with us to prioritize those funds where the greatest needs are. We have created a pilot program. This Board of Commissioners launched a pilot program this year that is well underway with federal funds to essentially find ways that we can provide direct support to the affordable housing initiatives in each of our individual towns. Affordable housing is a priority in all of our towns on Cape Cod. They have staffs, they have people, they have committees, but they need help. They have only so much capacity. And so we have a pilot program that is now going into its second year, and we have a tremendous amount of interest and support in it. If the pilot is successful, we will launch that initiative most likely as a full-time permanent part of the county's programs. We also want to make sure that we have an overall affordable housing strategy. So we targeted funds to the Cape Cod Commission to assist in coming up with a more aggressive strategy in terms of confronting affordable housing, because the reality is the current structure is not working as perhaps as well as it should. So we got a whole host of initiatives that we're looking at so we can expand the supply of affordable housing. We also took some of our federal ARPA funds and earmarked it specifically for significant projects or important projects from around the region, $11 million. And we have projects here in the Lower Cape. In fact, the Lower Cape is one of the most challenged areas, quite frankly, in the entire Cape. So we've put a lot of money out here, at least $2 million here on the Lower Cape for big projects.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest. Ms. Lyons.
Than me.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so I agree with Mark. We do have the Home Consortium, and we also have we did put $11 million into projects that were stalled over COVID. And one is right here. There's about 200 units, I believe, in Orleans that is now going forward because of that grant. And this was a process that was put in place through an advisory group. And then we had people vet. We had an organization that was recommended by the federal government to help us vet these bids that came in. So it kind of kept us away from it because it's a small place and we know everyone and everybody wants to have a priority here. So, but we wanted to make sure we were targeting the best and most viable projects. So, and there's one in Truro that's just been funded, Wellfleet, and I did go to a groundbreaking in Provincetown several months ago. So we are trying to make sure that there's housing online. I want to take into consideration what Cynthia was saying about how we're building these and to be looking at these units as to be able to house as people age. My background is I'm a social worker. I have an MSW, and my concentration was in geriatrics. So everything that you said about your site, all of that I can relate to. These are things that are challenging for all of us. The other thing is, as far as affordable housing, we cannot just keep building our way out of affordable housing. We're not going to be able to build our way out of housing problem. A lot of this has to do with income inequality. We have an income distribution problem in this country. That's not something we're going to be able to handle, but we have to start looking at who has so much money and they can just keep generating off that money, and nobody's really working anymore, and not paying their fair share. So this is a problem across the country, and until we address that problem, we're not going to get very far. We're just going to be eating every piece of land we own.
Thank you, Ms. Lyons. Our fourth question is from the audience, and it will go to Mr. Forrest first. Ballot question 6 calls for a change in charter language regarding the Assembly of Delegates. Would you briefly explain your understanding of ballot question 6 and then tell us your position on that issue?
Ballot question number 6 essentially will change our charter so that the Assembly of Delegates can introduce supplemental appropriations and act on those. It's basically taking what has inherently been an executive function and taking that onto themselves, so they be both they both have legislative powers but also executive powers as well. It sort of affects the checks and balances of county government. Our county government rules are pretty much established by state government. And what we've been trying to do is encourage the Assembly to work within the established guidelines, but they're looking to change them. Now, we can have a very interesting debate about the subject, but what council has recommended, what we've recommended, is that this is really a discussion that needs to take place in the context of a comprehensive charter review. We do them regularly, and when we have a need to make a change like this, it really should go through a comprehensive charter commission review process. We do them regularly. They've worked well. It brings everybody to the table. It's very open, very transparent. And complicated things like this can be explained in English so everybody can have a chance to understand what's going on. Those procedures were basically adopted in our original charter that went before the voters and was approved overwhelmingly several years ago. So as far as we're concerned, that process is in place. It invites citizens, local officials, particularly our select boards and other civic groups, to participate in the process. It's open. It's transparent. At the end of the day, we typically come to consensus because we've done this before and it's worked out well. We should do it again. We shouldn't be having this debate like this right now. We should be having this debate in front of a charter review commission, which is established under our charter.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest. Ms. Lyons, the same question.
Okay. I agree with everything that Mr. Forrest said, and also I served on the assembly, and when you're elected, you know, I think some of the problem is that it's an elected position, because when you're elected, you feel like you've gotten some support from your friends and community, and then you get there and say, gee, I'm here to pass the budget and make sure that things are not being stolen, there's no fraud, there's no patronage, and we're investing right. And that's how it was explained to me by other assembly members when I went there. Particularly the assembly member from Barnstable, who was the town administrator at the time. So this is, the county, very few people understand what the county does. And I do encourage you all to go to capecod.gov and really look through what we do. Our financial records are right there, open finance, everything that all of our departments do. And you will see where we can help you. So I think that by just inserting this language, they're not doing a justice to the people. People don't really understand it. It sounds kind of good, but you're giving power to who? I think an open process, a charter process that takes the county commissioners out of it and the assembly out of it, but maybe have the league come and help moderate and bring those important people together that can make these decisions It would not only be a benefit to the county and an honest process, but it would educate people and involve them. It would bring them into the county process so they could better understand what it is. We are very lucky to have this. We're the only functioning county in Massachusetts. It's needed. We need to take care of it, and we need to understand it. And I could go on with this. I'm getting my sign here. But it takes 20 signatures to get on a ballot to be an assembly member. We have to get 500 signatures and campaign in 15 towns. So there is a difference between these boards, and that difference should be looked at and see if it should change in which way the public, the people who it serves deem.
Thank you, Ms. Lyons. And finally, same question for Ms. Stead.
I will repeat what I said last night at a civic group. I want the Assembly of Delegates to continue to have the authority that they do. In my mind, the county government somewhat mirrors the federal government. There are the commissioners who run at large, and then there are the members of the Assembly of Delegates who run in their town. The voting capacity is based upon the population. The town of Bourne can outvote Truro and Provincetown put together because there are more people there. It is important that the commissioners keep that in mind, but it's also important that the commissioners respect the will of the county itself and the will of the county government. The example used is ironic because at a meeting that I attended recently, one of the commissioners, with the others signing off on it, demanded more money to be appropriated because he had overspent a line. I don't think that having fewer eyes on how money is spent is the best way to ensure that money will be spent well. I would like to see a system in which the commissioners act as a Senate. They look over, they can make changes. The Assembly of Delegates mirrors our House of Representatives, which indeed it is at the county level. But one thing to keep in mind is that the Constitution keeps the power of the purse in the lower branch, not in the Senate. I do think that they need more, but the voters are going to decide this. It's on the ballot. Vote for whichever point of view you think is better. I happen to favor question six.
Our next question will be addressed first to Ms. Lyons, and the question is this. Of the services that the county commissioners provide, which do you consider most important?
You know, it's a very hard thing to ask because all of our departments at one time or another sort of rise to the top and meet the challenge. So during the COVID, our public health department was the one that we turned to. They were the ones that were able to obtain vaccines, get them to this area, set up clinics, make sure the vaccines were distributed to community health centers and various pharmacies and to the hospital. They set up having your shots and all of that. Our cooperative extension rises to the occasion when it's helping shell fishermen figure out how to keep disease out of their product, agricultural assistance to people who want to be farmers, helping people, as I say, with the coastal resiliency and what factors can towns do to be able to garner those funds to help them with that. So each in itself is important when it comes to coming into which one is more, it's very hard to talk about. But the ultimate one is our finance committee and our administration. They are the ones that know how much money we have, what we can do, what is possible, what is coming down, what could we do to address something, and or we go to them and say, this is a problem that's emerging, how are we going to best do it? I also just want to say that we also have a fantastic human service department. That was the one that rose to the top during our pandemic. It was the county that was ahead. We kept hearing about drugs, we had a pill problem here, and that director and myself started looking into this. What's the best technical assistance the state could provide us to start addressing this problem? Then it was made a pandemic. That money started to flow. We were first in line in Massachusetts. And how we handled that that situation by bringing 15 towns together in the substance abuse problem and helped. We brought the courts, the police, the healthcare system, and representatives from every town, people who were addicted, people who survived, and they, we were able to get through that worst part of that pandemic to their help.
Thank you. And next we'll hear from Ms. Stead on this same question.
Well, that's easy for me. The dredge. I am a huge dredge fan. I'm a dredge junkie. I've been fascinated by it for years. How it works, the work that they do. And I was very, very happy. The young man told me that he would send me the slides from that presentation. I haven't gotten it yet. So this is your reminder. The other department that I really and truly admire is the health department. It provides so many services that people don't even know go on. As an example, if you happen to have a tick bite, if you're able to find the tick, you can mail it to the health department, and it will test it to find out if it does have Babinosis or Lyme, so that you can talk to your doctor and know whether or not you really need to start treatment. The health department inspects our restaurants. It keeps us safe in many, many ways. That's the kind of services that the county should be offering. It helps the towns, and it helps the individuals. It is not necessarily within only the county ecosystem. I think that a lot of things that the county does isn't known for the simple reason that they don't do a good job of conveying it to the town sometimes. And the towns are where we live. So again, those two are my best favorites, the dredge, and I told that to the dredge man. And I also, the county health department, I think, is, as a person working in human services, there was a situation where there was some terrible health issues. The person who was trying to help the client did not feel she could go to the town. I told her to call the county, and they did an inspection, and they cleaned it up. That's the kind of thing that the county can do. They have the ability, they have the personnel, they have the intelligence. We need to give them that support.
Thank you. Mr. Forrest.
Thank you. That's an excellent question. And it's what is our most favorite, right? Our top program? Just
yes.
One? The top program has to be our public health department, public health and environmental department. All the other departments are incredibly important, but if I had to pick one at the top of the list, it would have to be public health and environment. I disagree with the previous comments. Our health department works very, very closely with each of the 15 towns here on Cape Cod. They have weekly calls with the health agents in each of the towns to go over what's happening in their communities, what's going on, what health issues they're wrestling with. They provide direct assistance to the towns that need it. Some of the towns on the Lower Cape may have difficulty from time to time having staffing in some of their departments. We're there to step in to provide help if there's a vacancy, if there's a vacation, there's an illness. So we are there hand in hand working with the town. So I don't want anybody to think that we're not doing a good enough job in terms of working with our towns. The reality is that if we did not have our health department with the nurses and the staff that we had there, we would have not been able to respond to the COVID crisis as well as we did. The reality was is that when that crisis came upon us on Cape Cod, we were told that we had to drive to Boston, go to Fenway Park, go to Gillette Stadium. We had all these people over 80 years old hopping in their cars and heading up to Boston to get a vaccine. We as commissioners lobbied hard to get vaccines here, and we worked with our health department to set up clinics here all around the Cape. So we would not have been able to have dealt with this public health crisis were it not for our county health and environmental department. We have a lab for testing groundwater to protect public health. So many of our wells are at risk of contamination, so we are helping homeowners make sure that they're drinking clean water, safe water. And I want to clarify one thing. I mentioned something about $2 million in funds that we made available for affordable housing. That number is $11 million that we set aside and are targeting to deal with the most pressing and most important affordable housing projects here in the region.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest.
You're listening to a forum between three of the four candidates for Barnstable County Commission, Sheila Lyons, Mark Forrest, and Cynthia Stead. The fourth candidate, Ron Beatty, declined to participate. We'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're bringing you a forum between three of the four candidates running for two seats on the Barnstable County Commission, Mark Forrest, Sheila Lyons, and Cynthia Stead. Ron Beatty declined to participate. The forum is presented by the League of Women Voters Cape Cod, moderated by Jack Eklund, and recorded at Lower Cape TV.
This will be our final question. We're going to try to keep this to about an hour. And the question for you first, Mr. Forrest, is this. What strategy do you support in protecting our groundwater and to safeguard our drinking water?
Wow. You know, this is another great question. You folks have done really, you've done well. This has been a huge priority for this Board of Commissioners. We have played a very, very active role in targeting a whole host of groundwater, drinking water related issues. Let's not forget that through the Cape Cod Commission, we created a comprehensive Cape-wide 208 water quality initiative that has positioned the towns on the Cape to secure significant federal and state dollars to implement comprehensive wastewater management plans. Now, that sounds like a lot of jargon, but the reality is it's helping us bring millions of dollars in federal and state funds here to basically build sewer projects and help towns figure out ways to deploy alternative septic system technology. And we're actively involved in that fight. We have an alternative septic system test center out at Joint Base Cape Cod. That has become a real asset in terms of our fight to protect our water supplies. They are in the process of getting some additional funding from the state. We've lobbied hard and have secured an additional $2 million in state funds to expand that center to test more technologies to help protect and clean up groundwater pollution problems. We're very active in dealing with a PFAS cleanup at the Regional Fire Training Academy. We're putting a lot of money and resources into that. I mentioned before the lab. That lab is a critical asset in terms of our efforts to protect our water supplies. And the final point I want to make is that it looks like I have more time, so I may keep going. One of the final points I want to make is that with respect to the Sagamore Lens, which is on the Upper Cape, this Board of Commissioners called on the governor to shut down a machine gun range project that was being proposed on one of our most important areas of groundwater, drinking water on Cape Cod. And we appreciate the governor stepping in and agreeing with us that we shouldn't be building a machine gun range on one of the most vulnerable and important, most critical areas for drinking water supply on Cape Cod. So, but we got more to do. We have more to, and if I'm reelected as a county commissioner, I can basically pledge to make this, we'll make even further progress in this area.
I'm reversing the order a little bit. And I'm going to ask Ms. Lyons to address this question.
About water quality.
About water quality.
So when I ran in 2008, I ran because I could see that there was a wastewater problem and nobody really wanted to talk about that. And I had been coming here since a child and really I love Cape Cod. I think it's one of the most beautiful places. And you could see the difference from when I was a child and there was made a lot more trees, a lot less buildings, and you could smell pine and the waters were much more crystal clear. And now you go into a pond and you started to see like a sheen over that and noticing and becoming educated about the impacts of nitrogen on our ocean and estuaries, ocean waters and estuary waters. So I decided to run on that, and I wasn't very popular in the beginning because it was going to cost millions of dollars, and there was no federal government saying that you do have a problem that will help with our state. But over time, and we had a very good staff that helped us through the commission, and we had the collaborative, water collaborative, protection collaborative. If you keep pushing and you keep pushing and giving information and making the case, you can't ignore it. It was going to start impacting not only our environment, but our economy, because we are a tourist-based economy, and that is number one, why people come here, and it would affect people's homes, homeowner prices. So when all of those things come together, people start listening and start wanting to do something about it, which made it more palatable for us to get those monies. Everything that Mark said, we did put more. We boosted up our instrumentation so that we can test for PFAS in the water or whatever other emerging concerns are going to be coming our way. That I'm sure they're coming because we don't know what's out there. And my concern is overbuilding. because we only have a limited water supply. We are in a sole source aquifer. We are fed by lenses. On the Outer Cape, we're very fragile. People used to leave it alone and leave and let everything rest and recharge. With climate change, we're having more droughts. We're having more population stay here, build here, use that water, and we're not being able to have it replenish, and it is impacting the ponds are an indication of what our water quality is, drinking water. So I'm very concerned. I am dedicated to the county addressing this even further.
Thank you. And Ms. Stead, same question. What strategy do you support in protecting our groundwater to safeguard our drinking water?
You know, there's an old saying that if a tree falls in the forest and no one is there, does anybody hear it? That's one of the things about the county. They do a great deal of nifty stuff, but nobody knows about it. Just recently, a sewer program with literally millions of dollars to loan to convert your septic system to a nitrogen-based sewer system, nobody knew that this was there. The people went out to do it. It's been certified by the state. I can see it as being especially relevant for people who are part-timers that may not want to have to hook up to a, for many thousands of dollars, to a piped system, but have moderate needs. The county, that would be my top thing, is to promote what the county already does rather than waiting for people to come to the county when they don't even quite know what questions they ought to ask. Again, I saw that presentation. I was blown away by it. They have $50 million to loan in order to create these new types of septic system. I thought it would be incredibly useful for people who are not year-rounders. It would serve them particularly well. It would also serve people who would have real trouble paying the fees to hook into a mandatory piped system. They might not have enough money. They could wind up with their houses shut down on them. The county does do good things. It's just that they don't always communicate it to the hoi polloi. I am hoi polloi myself. I want to tell people the good things that are done, and I also want to suggest other things that perhaps haven't been thought of.
Thank you so much, Ms. Stead. We've now come to the end of our question and answer session, and each candidate will have 2 minutes to make their closing argument, and we will start with Ms. Lyons.
Okay. So as I said, I have served on this county now 14 years. So I'll be here for a long run for this one more term. But as I say, I'm very proud of what the county, where it has come to. And it is sort of self-actualizing the way I sort of saw that it could. When I was on the assembly, I thought this is a great vehicle to bring these towns together and to build consensus. And that really is our mandate, to address the concerns that transcend the towns that they can't handle on their own. And we are now doing that. Everything that Cynthia said from the dredge, we just to let you know, we did rebuild that dredge. We that whole program, we have a new dredge, we have all the new equipment, and we have a dedicated funding, a supplemental dedicated fund to be there for the dredge, which is one of the reasons why I don't want all this money being played with by other people, because we are doing the right thing to have a stable county that goes into the future, whether we are here or not. So I'm very proud of the work that we did in advancing our health and environmental departments. I'm very proud of the work that we've put into the housing situation here, into our water situation. And the county has always been the lead in the water situation, from the Blue Ribbon Committee that was led by people before I was in the scene, trying to do that call that we have a water issue. It is it's an important voice for the people. I wish everyone would go. And as far as our communication, we do understand, Cynthia, that we're not great at getting it out there, but we have beefed that up. We have statistics of more visits to our website, more interaction with the public, and they know where to go now for that help. So anything you want to lend to that, we're always happy to have it. But it's been a pleasure and an honor to serve this beautiful region And I want to work to keep a special place special.
Thank you, Ms. Lyons. Next, we'll hear a closing statement from Ms. Stead.
I am running because I care about the county. During the last 6 years especially, I went to many, many meetings there because I worked at Catholic Charities and I worked with the shelter. And they provide a wonderful platform for all the different social service groups to be able to trade tips, to be able to trade information and so on. It was a monthly meeting up until COVID. Dan Gray did a yeoman work trying to keep it going online, and it just didn't pan out. But that was how we managed to get all of the information to one another. And now it's just kind of gone. I can't help feeling that sometimes the county talks to itself and asks itself, wouldn't this be a cool thing to do? Why, yes, it would. Without necessarily finding out if anybody else is particularly interested. We have some big financial burdens coming our way. The HVAC at the Second District Court in Orleans is almost non-functional. It's going to be many millions of dollars to fix. Likewise, the Children's Cove building, and we invented Children's Cove. It's a fabulous program. That building was built in 1975. It's not going to be functional much longer. Do we have to choose which are we going to do? We're legally obligated to the courthouse, but we really want to keep Children's Cove. We need to be more effective with the money that we have. We have quite a bit, but at the same time, we need to stop and decide and prioritize financially. I have worked with money in every level of government, municipal, federal, state, and local. I want to be able to look hard at that government budget and decide what is the true priority, not because it's a good thing, but it's because we can afford it and it's our genuine responsibility.
Thank you, Ms. Stead. And finally, we'll hear from Mr. Forrest.
Thank you. And I want to thank the League once again for hosting this forum. It's great that we can get together like this. In closing, let me just say that I very much am honored to serve as a county commissioner and play a leadership role in tackling the major challenges that confront our region. We have a very strong board of county commissioners right now. This has probably been the strongest board that we've had in quite some time. And we've had quite a great deal of success. And I think advocating and providing leadership on a number of incredibly important issues. I mentioned before the machine gun range on the Upper Cape, on the Sagamore Lens. It was our board that stepped up and made the case to the governor and the administration on the reasons why that project was misguided and should not take place. We laid out the details. We did a review of the project with our health and environmental department and came to the conclusion that it was an unacceptable risk to our water supplies. We've provided leadership with respect to advocating for funding for the bridges that cross the Cape Cod Canal. We've provided leadership in terms of dealing with the problems of our dredge department and getting permitting for projects in the individual towns. We've helped put the dredge program in a direction where it's going to be in the black in very short order. We've provided a tremendous amount of support and a whole array of environmental initiatives. We started a freshwater initiative involving improving the water quality of all of our ponds, all of our streams, and all of our lakes. We have almost 1,000 lakes and ponds here on Cape Cod. We've also played an active role in strengthening the financial management of Barnstable County. We have come together to adopt a very aggressive set of best practices. We have also secured rave reviews from the bond rating agencies. S&P gave us a boost in our bond rating. So for the folks that think that somehow we're not doing a good enough job in managing our funds, I urge you to read that S&P report. And for those of you that want to keep in touch with what we're doing at Barnstable County, go to our website, sign up for our mailing list, go to capecod.gov. There's a sign-up sheet right there that can get you a newsletter so we can keep you up to date on everything that's going on. Barnstable County and the people of Cape Cod should be proud of what we're doing here in Barnstable County, and I'm proud of the people that work for the county, and it would be once again an honor to continue to represent the people of the Cape as a county commissioner. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Forrest, and thank you to all of our candidates.
This form between candidates for the Barnstable County Commission was presented by the League of Women Voters Cape Cod and was recorded at Lower Cape TV. Candidates Cynthia Stead, Sheila Lyons, and Mark Forrest all accepted the invitation. The fourth candidate, Ron Beatty, declined. I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.